Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Hentai Corner. We are back with more Dead and Igus, so let's go ahead and get started. What are you watching, sir? Commander Kinnison pauses for a second to move the projection of what he's looking at on his personal terminal to onto a larger hologram in the center of the room. Today, the Special Warfare Trooper Corps have stopped a large-scale invasion by the CC forces, dealing a powerful blow to the aliens' offensive. There are reports of new types of CC flyers being deployed onto the battlefield, but details regarding them are unavailable. One thing is clear for certain, though. They are no match for our brave Special Warfare Troopers. Same as always, they're not actually reporting any information. Even if they did have any concrete details to relay, it wouldn't mean much. The people only want to hear that we're winning and that they're safe. Anything else is just a spectacle to them, and that's what we need them to think. Them, as in our sponsors? I don't just mean the military-industrial complex, I don't just mean the military-industrial complex, but in an even broader sense. Kinnison changes the channel. I've always felt this way, but isn't Special Warfare Trooper a bit of a mouthful? Magical Girl is a good enough name. The girl's got quite a face and a figure, too. And I mean, she is an active idol. She's one of those military idols that have been all the craze recently. What about this one? Or this one? No, those girls are just our partners, I think. They might be an idol group, but it's dangerous out there on the front lines. They have AI sort individual troopers into groups in order to maximize their effectiveness. Does the AI take looks into account, though? Hold on, guys. I'm gonna have to do something about the, I'm tired of not being able to see the damn text. Does the AI take looks into account, though? I see, this really is advertising them to the sponsors in a broader sense. We need their funds to keep this base operational. So you're gonna use the girls' G14- excuse me. Are you going to use G14's girls for their looks? Indeed, you might not like to hear this, but Lizette can't be our only poster girl. I understand that too. Anything that reduces the strain she has to go through is wonderful as far as I'm concerned. Yes, but logic cannot always align with emotion. Even you must understand we can't send her all- we can't send her out all that frequently. No one can take Lizette's place. You might believe that, but tactically speaking, it's not sustainable. They might not be as good as Lizette, but perhaps they can finish in for half of what she can do. That's what you said last year, Commander, and the year before that. Yes, that's true, and everyone I pinned my expectations on ended up dying. But even so, I can't give up. I know, G14 is our most promising group this year. Personally, I think G2's 2nd Lieutenant Oron, G3's 2nd Lieutenant Zhu, and G9's 1st Lieutenant Kabika have been performing exceptionally too. Yes, they certainly have, but G14 as a group is proving quite valuable. So you think that even if they can't overshadow Lizette individually, they can do it as a team? Expecting those three to overshadow her would be like placing too much responsibility on them. Lizette is a true genius. Like I said, I only expect them to achieve half of what she can. You have quite the grasp on G14's trio. Your skills are impressive as ever. Impressive, eh? The commander cracks a bitter smile. These aren't a military officer's duties I'm doing here, but those of a pimp. Even if I have to do so out of necessity, I can't help but hate it sometimes. I've had it done to me, too. That's how things ended up happening. I can't look Lizette in the eye, can I? Given the ways I've used you. I know. But there's no point discussing it now, and it wasn't done to me against my will after all. I've got nowhere else to go but this place. Even so, you and I know there really is no point repeating this any longer. It's thanks to you that I found a way to keep on fighting when I lost my power, Commander. I hope the information I've gathered helps you even a little. Your information is a great help to me. Documentation and observation can only go so far. The Commander gently smiles. Indeed, it's like you said. We had the same conversation last year around the same time. How many times will we need to repeat this? Isn't the end in sight already? It's unusual to hear someone as cautious as you say such a thing. I've got no real basis for that feeling. It's just that nothing can last forever. Though I suspect there are a great many people who hope this could last forever. They sit safe and sound while war rages far in the distance, creating a demand for an army. It's like a dream come true for the military-industrial complex. And that's not enough. They likely want to create a new source that will demand their services. The redevelopment of Mars? There's been a campaign running recently to help the moon's refugees. Its main headlines as of late. So they want to settle the moon's refugees on Mars? And it would call the moon refugees an anti-Earth activism, killing two birds with one stone. But that would place Mars under the control of the moon refugees' terrorist organization. I'm sure the central government has some strategy in mind. They'll probably lure in the terror organization's leaders by promising peace talks, only to bag them all together. Or perhaps they'll infiltrate the organization and sweep out the opposition from the inside. I'd go for both if I were them. But Conway's part of that organization. A certain woman's visage surfaces in Cersei's mind. Her former colleague, and with the exception of Lisette, the only other woman she's had as a friend. That name brings back memories. She might be a special warfare trooper, but so long as she doesn't use her special warfare gear, she's as human as the rest of us. Stopping her isn't impossible, or at least that's what the central government thinks. But I doubt the central government's toy soldiers can hope to overcome a special warfare trooper. They don't realize the kind of power that troopers wield. And if the central government were to let her escape, they could come crying to us, asking that we lend them special warfare troopers to catch her. An irritating affair, isn't it? And using those three to that end might be a good idea. Will they survive for that long, though? Commander Kinnison pauses for thought before speaking as if it had already been decided. Unfortunately, First Lieutenant Izuka probably won't make it. She'll likely break in the near future. We've already chosen her to be our sacrificial lamb, after all. May 8th. Minori soars for the clear wind, feeling it softly and pleasantly caress her skin. Her eyes are clear and bright. Purgatorio shines with light across several wavelengths. That light is bent by the heavy gravity well surrounding the red giant, forming a prismatic aurora that makes the celestial bodies in the space sector seem to glow. Even the smallest pieces of interstellar matter and debris floating through the void formed from the combined influence of various forces are clearly visible to her. She can see Nana flying behind her, with Yusha following Nana in turn. Their force fields form a shining contrail around them, not unlike that of a comet. Whenever Minori wears a special enhancement gear, it feels like all her senses become keener. It's almost as though she can see the cosmos in high resolution. No one else sees the universe like this except for the special warfare troopers. Well, maybe the CC see things like this too, while flying through space. You really got used to it, huh, Minori? It's been a month since Minori was given the special enhancement gear. It's all thanks to you two. Yeah, that brings back memories. It was pretty crazy at first. You got all drunk off to the sensory overload. At first, Minori felt like she might drown in the overwhelming amount of information her five senses were feeding her mind. It made her dizzy and sick to her stomach. But thanks to Nana and Yusha's support, she overcame it. These days, her senses immediately adapt to the change from the very moment she manifests her special warfare gear. I've never seen someone barf in outer space before. The puke just kept floating around everywhere. Don't remind me. The memory still haunts Minori. The lack of gravity meant her vomit flew in all directions. The nasty taste of it lingered in her mouth the entire time until she made it back to base. You two are amazing. You got used to it so quickly. Well, I am of superior talent. I can say it now because it's all in the past, but on my first time, like, I was fine when I was flying, but when I got back, I got all sick and threw up in the shower. Alright. I went right after you that day. You did clean up after yourself, right? So you and me are in the Barfers Club, Minori. Excuse me. Huh? Hold on. So you and me are in the Barfers Club. Minori, Ayusha's the odd one out. Who wants to be in your stupid club? I don't mind being in a club like that if it's with you, Nana. Are you Ayusha? We're talking about puke here, you know? You know what? No, I refuse. Minori can say this with all her heart now. Even if their team was formed only by chance, she's glad that she's with them both. Other groups of troopers formed from combinations of officers, academy, alumni, and civilians are gradually suffering casualties with every passing day. The survivors get reassigned to new groups with even more unfamiliar comrades. But while the three of them were all born in different places, leading different lives and becoming different people, they all opened their hearts to each other after 4 months of living, eating, and sleeping together. Had it not been for the other two, Minori would surely be dead right now. If either of them ever finds themselves in danger, Minori won't hesitate to save them. MBAC, MBAC, this is G-14, CC detected beginning offensive maneuvers. Ayusha's report is routine as always. I see them too. There aren't many of them today. But it's our first time running into them in this space sector. Minori can feel them too, although she only did so a moment after Ayusha did. But by now, this doesn't make her feel inferior to her comrade. One enemy formation, one UMB and five FBs, and as usual, there's one UCC unit several hundred miles away. The one that always runs off. Up until now, the CC has usually operated in formations of five units. There was an exception during the CC's invasion of Earth when they were accompanied by a gigantic CC flyer called the Jewel Thief. The introduction of the UMB this year broke the usual convention, but it also matched the precedent of the CC formations being sometimes accompanied by a particularly massive CC flyer. But there's another type of unidentified CC these days that they've taken to calling a UCC or unidentified CC. At first, the troopers mistakenly assumed that it was just another FB due to it being roughly the same size. But by now, however, they believe it to be a different type altogether. Whenever the tide of battle turns against the CC, the UCC immediately flees from the battlefield at breakneck speeds. Because of that behavior, it is still yet to be... to be properly examined. No one knows much of anything about it, including whatever combat capabilities it might have. If we can just get close to the UCC. Even if they can't defeat it, getting close enough to it might allow them to learn something. Yeah, but it's really quick. It leaves its allies behind and runs off as soon as it's in danger. I've read up on the combat report so far, and it looks like it doesn't actually flee until all the FBs are wiped out. I wonder if I hit the wrong button. No? Voice is up to max. There we go. But I thought cowards didn't have friends. I mean, it just runs off if it's in danger. Minori thinks, then quickly explains a plan to her two comrades for them all to carry out. I see. That's possible, yeah. I just have to do the same thing I always do, so I'm fine with this. The three of them quickly exchange nods and move in. Ayusha deploys her bits from both hands. They swoop in, pelting the UMB with suppressive fire until it's forced to turn in a different direction. Nah, not so hard, Satoru! That's so funny. Nana charges forward, enveloped by a rainbow light. As the UMB is pushed back by Ayusha's fire, she blocks its path of retreat, holding it in place. Minori moves in at her usual speed, pretending that she's simply holding back in reserve. In reality, though, she's intentionally changing her position on the battlefield. The UMB flaps its canopy open to defend the UMBs behind it from Ayusha's lasers. From Minori's position, the UMB's massive shadow hides her from the UCC. She focuses all her consciousness on the UCC. She bolts forward, speeding towards the unidentified target with all her senses fixated upon it. At that moment, the CC tissue in her uterus throbs. It beats like a second heart, pumping warmth into her body. She breaks into a sweat as her pulse races. Heat spreads through her chest, setting inside her breast. Special enhancement gears rings around her nipples cause them to harden. The stimulation travels through the tips of her nipples, deep into each of her bosoms. Her vagina tightens wantonly as its creased interior becomes wet with love juices. She feels a protrusion jammed inside her anus, digging into her sphincter. Each and every one of its beads gouges deep into her intestines. The changes in her senses are accompanied by new sensations inside of her body. While she's grown mostly accustomed to the former, she's still not used to the latter. She desperately restrains the moans leaking from her lips, but the change in her demeanor is visible. Her eyes become moist and her lips hang open, as if she's in the midst of a dream. The moment she becomes aware of the shape of the dildo inside her pussy, the Type 8 Special Enhancement Gear activates in earnest. She finally lets out an indecent moan. Minori can resist the throbbing of the Holy Grail in her uterus, but being stimulated in five different places is more than she can possibly take. The bumpy rings clamping down on her nipples begin to rotate, while also rhythmically contracting around them. The beads shoved into her anus, which extend all the way into her intestines, rotate while gently pumping in and out. The wart-like protrusion on the front section of the lower device clings to her prepuce, squeezing down on it while applying a lubricant mixed with stimulating drugs. Dainty, featherlight strokes of the stimulation ring begin caressing her clitoris, the core of her lust. Inside her vagina, the flexible dildo contracts and expands repeatedly. The sensor inside it keeping track of Minori's reaction, searching for his sensitive spots. So it can give them special attention. These perverted, unusual devices are designed to actively assault a woman's weak spots. She can't possibly resist them. No, I'll lose sight of it. I have to keep going. Minori speeds through space, moaning suggestively every second of the way. A mixture of bodily fluids and lubricant seeps from her sopping vagina and rectum, leaking out from around the lower device. It instantly freezes once it hits the vacuum of space, turning into a glittering trail of icy crystals. She accelerates to speeds that were unthinkable for her before she equipped the special enhancement gear. The UMB's surface expands in her vision. Minori, go, keep going! A pillar of light, crackling with lightning, penetrates the umbrella's canopy before Minori's eyes and explodes, literally pulverizing the UMB. As its red core wavers among the white fragments of the shell in an attempt to escape. She says, go deeper, Satoru, I love you, magical hammer. Letting out squeals that are completely out of place in the middle of a battlefield, Nana slams her gigantic hammer down upon the core. Minori swiftly blitzes through the clouds of fragments. The UMBs remain serve as improvised chaff, hiding her from the watchful gaze of the UCC in the distance. That was Minori's plan. With a final burst of speed, she races towards the identified specimen, getting closer than ever before so she can finally look upon it with her own two eyes. That's the UCC? is clearly a different type of flyer than the FBs. It's smaller than them. In fact, it's about the same size as Minori. It somewhat resembles a noblewoman from some ancient French royal court, for it almost looks like it's dressed in a fancy ruffled hat and a poofy, frill-decorated dress. However, it doesn't have a face. The spot where its head would be is only covered in countless amounts of even more frills. Minori doubts that there's a face underneath them in any case. Perhaps noticing that Minori is approaching it, the monstrous noblewoman begins to speed away. It's quick, but with her current speed, Minori can catch up to it. Minori accelerates further. I have to stay focused, it's too hard. The CC tissue in her belly thrashes, causing her stomach to feel like it's bloated. The special enhancement gear also goes into full throttle. Pleasure shoots through Minori's body, almost causing her consciousness to white out entirely. It feels like an electrical current is flowing through Minori's body at this point. She twitches from the top of her head to the tips of her fingers. Fluids flow from both her rectum and vagina, leaving behind a frozen trail in her wake, not unlike that of a comet. The distance remaining between them gradually shrinks. She quickly begins to gain on the noblewoman. Before long, she's within attacking range. At this point, Minori can clearly see each individual frill and stress. Just a little closer. Just a little closer. And then all of a sudden, Minori's entire body curls into itself and the aurora surrounding her suddenly collapses inward. Before she knows it, the noblewoman slips away, speeding off into the distance. The special enhancement gear's AI detected she was on the verge of climax and injected a dose of powerful Somnus tranquilizer directly into her raging CC tissue, forcing it back into dormancy. Ayusha catches up to her. Did you collect any data on it? The special enhancement gear is equipped with sensors that gather and record all manner of data. Yeah, but it got away. Minori. You should feel proud of just collecting this data, you know? Just now, you were so focused on speed that your defenses were practically, basically non-existent. What would you have done if that thing counterattacked you while you were approaching it? Minori feels awkward. She clearly lost her composure. Indeed, she didn't consider the possibility that she might be counterattacked. She should have assumed a fighting posture as soon as she was in clear view of the enemy. You're both so fast. Think about me. I've got all this weight to carry. Yeah, because you gotta carry those huge tits of yours around. Yep, I'm even bigger than you, Ayusha. But good for you, Minori. You finally unlocked your second magic. My second magic? Ayusha's got her bits and her Grugnir thing, and I've got my bulky shield and my magical hammer. Minori wonders how Nana can be pleased with those names. Magical hammer is one thing, but bulky shield? Actually, no, even magical hammer is pushing it too. Who cares so long as it looks good? It's called Grugnir, you doofus. But before now, you only had your legendary sword. Now you have your super speed, too. Ta-da-da-da-da-da! Minori Izuka learned new magic. Minori didn't think much about it before now, but up until this point, her special warfare armaments were entirely focused on melee combat. This amazing speed and acceleration might really be her new power. Still, Minori starts racking her brain. It'll need a better name. Their 12-hour-long patrol comes to an end. The Cathedral, mankind's sole citadel, in this dark corner of outer space. Seeing this place grow closer ought to fill Minori with relief, but instead she feels dark dread overcoming her. Nana and Ayusha fall silent and simply bear it. Their magical time comes to a close, and now they must once again face wretched reality. Even once they come near the place, they're not immediately welcome. First, they have to remain on standby several hundred miles away from the cathedral. The formal reason for this is that since their force fields have become more powerful than before, they run the risk of disrupting the cathedral's structural integrity. Not many special warfare troopers believe this excuse, though. If that was the real reason, they need to take similar precautions while exiting the deployment port as well. Minori recalls talking about it with Yusha once. Maybe they treat us so badly they're afraid we might revolt against them or something. She said it as a joke, of course, but there was a grain of truth to it. The amount of time they spend waiting on standby seems to be growing gradually longer, and they're forced to wait with groups returning from their own space sector patrols, too. But with the atmosphere leading up to their return being so dark and oppressive, they spend that time in silence without talking among themselves. Abigail Clark from Group 2 whispers broodingly, "Why are they having us wait like this?" No one answers. Minori wants to say something, but nothing comes to mind. Minori passes through the airlock, which closes behind her and shuts her off from outer space. The disengagement buzzer blares out, signaling the end of that magical time. Her special warfare gear falls apart and fades away. Special warfare troopers have conditioned reflexes that were instilled in them during training, making them forcibly disengage their gear whenever they hear that buzzer. The process follows the same principle as Pavlovian conditioning. Wow. Just as her gear completely fades away, the atmosphere being pumped into the room reaches safe levels. Minori leaves the airlock, shuffling her heavy, tired limbs along. Special warfare gear grants her body supernaturally heightened survival and combat abilities. But once it fades away, it feels like all the body weight she didn't have to worry about for the past 12 hours suddenly drags her down all at once. She also becomes aware of the ring clamping down on her clitoris and the foreign object thrust into her rectum. And to top it off, she suddenly feels the fatigue brought on after performing multiple powerful attacks and maneuvers, leaving her exhausted and spent. Suddenly overcome by weariness, Minori squats down, but then... "Haha, Minori Azuka! I see you got the rotten luck of coming back alive today, too. I guess even the Grim Reaper doesn't want to touch your ugly stuff." Yes, the battle isn't over yet. She can't afford to lose to this vulgar man. "Whoa there! I'm a reliable, dependable comrade of yours. No need to glare at me like we're enemies or something." Even so, today's better than most days. At least this time, the man had demonstrated how to equip the special enhancement gear on her the day she first got it isn't around. I'll get that right. He seems to develop some kind of obsession with her after that event, because he began showing up whenever she returned from battle to record video footage of her, claiming it was for a report. "Well, if you're that dependable, how about you go out into space and fight by our side?" "But I am fighting! This is outer space too, you know! Now get on your feet! There's people waiting, so don't waste everyone's time!" Minori bites her lip in frustration. If she spends more time arguing with him now, Nana and Yusha will have to wait out in space that much longer, and they've already been forced to wait for a long time already. Minori shakes off his hands as he tries to grab her by her shoulders and pull her upright. Instead, she stands up on her own before handing him her encased wand. "Just get it over with already." She needs to have her special enhancement gear removed and her body's nervous system checked, because returning special warfare troopers are usually exhausted to the point of making mistakes. The male officers of the base are assigned to assist them with those duties. She gave him her encased wand herself because he would take it away regardless as part of the established procedure. "Hehehe, believe me, I'd rather not look at your ugly body even a minute longer. Still as filthy and disgusting as ever, aren't you? You fucking stink, you hear? I'm surprised they ever made you a first lieutenant." She has no choice but to put up with his insults. After 12 hours of patrol, while constantly in a state of forced arousal, her body is dripping with greasy, sticky sweat. Her vagina and rectum leak fluids that drip down her inner thighs. The insolent officer thrusts his silvery rod in his hands against the tips of Minori's breasts. The upper devices that were teasing her breasts this entire time now loosen their grip. The sensation of them biting down on her nipples and clinging to her skin fades away. "Oh, whoops. Can't have them fall off, can we? They're precise devices, after all. Gotta take them off real careful-like." With a nasty smirk, the man roughly grabs the loosened upper devices, groping Minori's breasts as he does. "Ha ha ha! It's stuck because of all your sweat. Can't take it off." He pinches her right nipples with his fingers, intentionally rubbing them where they stick out from the centers of the devices. Her body, which is still aroused, can't help but react to his touch. Minori bites down on her lip while trying to keep in her voice. "Heh, finally got it off. Don't make this too hard for me, would you? It's not like I'm having fun touching your small, drooping tits." She's finally free of the devices, but having to stand naked in front of this man doesn't make her feel particularly liberated. He then pokes the lower device with the same silvery rod, making the stimulation ring that clamps down on her clitoris come loose. Without that attachment point, the front section of the device slides partially out of her vagina. The device's lubricants and her love juices pour from her wet, flushed vulva. Heh, your clit sure has developed, hasn't it, First Lieutenant? He prods her highly sensitive genitals with a silvery rod a second time, forcing her to grit her teeth to keep from moaning out loud. Just watching her struggle to hold in her voice is enough to entertain him. With a nasty smirk, he then pokes the rear section of the lower device with a silvery rod. The uncomfortable feeling in Minori's crotch fades away as the dildo and anal beads come loose. Usually they just get dragged all the way out, but this time Callahan pauses halfway through. The anal beads still remain inside her, and with the rear section still holding on, the front section remains attached to her vagina as well. Looks like your asshole's still crying for more, Miss First Lieutenant. A real fussy customer, aren't you? Minori stiffens from the continued indignity. This man always enjoys slowly pulling it out so he can listen to her struggle to contain her moans. Here you go, then. Today, his surprise attack completely blindsides her. Her feminine yelp of pleasure fills the deployment port. He deviates from his usual procedure of teasing her, instead yanking out the bottom device's rear section in one swift pull. The swollen device slides out of her rectum, grinding against her intestinal walls as it stretches her sphincter on its way out, sending a sharp jolt of stimulation through her body. Minori, unable to withstand the shock, feels her knees buckling beneath her, drooping her to the floor onto her backside. With her knees bent and her legs open, her vagina is clearly visible, its lips still gaping open, even though the dildo is no longer inside of her. Underneath the artificial white light of the deployment port, her pubic hair glistens with sweat and secretions. Even her twitching vagina's inner folds and her red clitoris are clearly visible. Ha! What? Trying to seduce me by spreading your vagina like that? If you want me to do you, you're gonna have to beg for it. Mr. Callahan, I'm a yellow slut! Please have mercy on me and fuck me senseless! Realizing how embarrassing her position is, Minori blushes profusely and stands up now naked. Keep talking, scumbag. Now hurry up and finish your job. Minori hasn't realized it yet, but a naked girl trying to look resolute only comes across as laughable, further serving to stroke his sadistic urges. But she's right. The shameful process isn't even half done. The special enhancement gear has been removed, but her nerves still need to be checked to confirm that they're working properly. She had a tranquilizer applied to her while on the verge of climax. That extremely powerful stillness drug can have side effects. One of them, sensory numbness, occurs in about 1 out of every 10,000 uses. When that happens to a special warfare trooper, it interferes with the use of the special enhancement gear, so the trooper isn't allowed to deploy until the paralysis wears off. Right, we have to go back to work. Let's check little Miss First Lieutenant, shall we? He stands right in front of her, as if to block her path, and then grabs onto her breast hard enough for his fingers to dig into her skin. Ugh. There, I can feel everything just fine. Minori's tone is brave, even when she withers the pain. Weathers, rather. Yeah, you can feel pain, but hold up. Not that a pig like you deserves to be treated this way, but I need to see if you can feel it when I touch you gently, too. This time he completely changes his tactics. He places his fingers around her nipples, which are still erect from having the special warfare gear on, and gently rolls them back and forth. Sweet pleasure fills her nipples to the point where she has to actively stop herself from moaning. There, you see? I can feel it just fine. She understands, of course, that if she just moans out an obvious pleasure from the start, the inspection would be over immediately. But she doesn't want to moan like that in front of this horrible man. Well, that's strange. Horny sluts like you usually let out a nice moan when I pinch your nipples. Seems to me you really are a little numb. Indeed, there are other sweet moans echoing throughout the deployment port, just as Callahan said. Not far from Minori, one of G2's troopers, Alcia Orion, is moaning suggestively as a man fondles her breasts. She even coquettishly pushes herself against the man toying with her, rubbing her dark skin, voluptuous body against him. She entices him, making a show of her pleasure so that her humiliating inspection will end as soon as possible. Minori has seen this countless times already, every time she returns to the deployment port. How her colleagues eye the men with frustrated, hateful gazes at first, only to eventually seduce them with awkward smiles. Minori still thinks this is terrible and messed up. They might have to put up with this so they can survive now, but one day she'll definitely report this outrage. The man ogles Alicia lewdly, who smiles sweetly and seductively at him. She rubs her body against him and reaches for his crotch. Before long, the two embrace each other and walk off around the corner out of sight. Huh? Heh heh, those poor girls. T2's inspections are gonna take a while, huh? I hear that Indian slut can fuck in all sorts of crazy positions. Minori can't believe it. She thought Alicia was just acting that way so that the inspection would end as quickly as possible, but the way she willingly reached for that man's dick proves otherwise. The voices coming from around the corner are clearly those of a man and a woman copulating. As if he's trying to take advantage of Minori's surprise, Callahan changes things up again, going from gently tweaking her nipples to persistently fondling her breasts. Minori tells herself to bear it time and time again, but her heart is shaken after seeing her colleague yield to a man so easily. Minori's own resistance is far weaker than she expects. She can no longer contain her pleasure. Oh, so you can make cute moans too, huh, Miss First Lieutenant? Those hardly have much shape, but at least your boobs are nice and sensitive. Your skin even clings to my hand. At some point, he circled behind her. She only realizes that she's in trouble once he whispers into her ear and runs his tongue over the nape of her neck. Stop it! My neck! My neck's got nothing to do with this! Hurry up and finish the inspection! He holds her from behind. Her sweat-drenched body struggles within his arms, but she only looks like a woman giving herself to a man's embrace. No need to rush this. It'd be a big problem if it turns out you're numb after all. Gotta take my time to check thoroughly. The thought that his fingers might soon be violating her pussy and ass conjures up images of herself getting raped. It's enough to make her womb throb yet again. Feeling her vagina moistened with love juices snaps Minori out of her fantasy soon enough. But at this point, Callahan already knows just how effective his ministrations are on her. His hands suddenly release her breasts and grope her crotch instead. His rough hand presses down against her slit pubes and vagina, mercilessly stroking and rubbing her clitoris. Heh, your clit's all swollen. Can you feel it? My hand's squeezing it, and your clit's screaming that it feels good. It wants more. I'm feeling things just fine. You can see that. The sound of her moist pubic hair parting beneath his fingers fills the air around them. As it does, the monster in human skin brings one of his hands back up to resume toying with her lovely breasts. Minori tries to resist, but not only is there an overwhelming difference in their physiques and muscle strength, but her naked body is also painfully aroused. Whatever resistance she puts up is futile. He rhythmically uses his palm to stroke her clitoris while plunging his thick middle and index fingers into her vagina. His digits are soon soaked by the wetness within her depths. Aren't you nice and wet, Minori? Did looking at that Indian slut make you all jealous? And you're squeezing down on my fingers, too. He churns up her pussy until love juices froth out of her vagina, dripping down between his fingers. That's because of the special enhancement gear, so it won't come out. It's not because of your fingers. It's not. The special enhancement gear has been inside her vagina and rectum for so long that her holes have learned to reflexively clamp down around them. A burning stimulus stabs through Minori's rectum as the fingers that let go of her breasts now plunge into her puckering asshole. Yeah, well said, Miss First Lieutenant. This all won't let go of me either, but it sure is tight. Your rear is nice and disciplined, isn't it? He pumps in and out of both her holes, causing lewd, intense, and wet noises to echo out. The sound of her dripping secretions is loud and clear within the deployment port. It's not discipline. I'm not here so you can make fun of me. She hates this. She hates this so much. This man gets to have his way with her, and it's all sanctioned by the regulations. But her sensitive body reacts to his touch nonetheless, making moans leave her lips. The CC tissue inside her uterus pulsates fiercely, sending heat shooting through her body. Her mind blanks out from the shockwaves of sensation created by his ministrations. I hate this! Please, no more. She doesn't want to come from this terrible man's inspection. But then he abruptly stops. Heh, your check's finished, Miss First Lieutenant Minoru Iizuka. No signs of numbness from the effects of somnus were detected. His voice is full of mock seriousness. As he speaks, he releases her from his embrace, leaving her to sink powerlessly to the floor. The heat inside her, which is on the verge of boiling over, still continues to bubble with expectation. The tips of her breasts stand erect. Her clitoris throbs, and her vagina still wantonly drools. Now I have your butt fluids on my finger. Yuck. He rubs the fingers he used to violate her anus against her sweat-drenched back. However, Minori is so desperate to restrain the desire rampaging within her that she doesn't even realize just how humiliating, that act was. Biting hard on her lip, she wobbles to her feet. She fears that the moment she opens her mouth, she'll say something truly terrible. Heh. What, you wanted me to go all the way? But you know, a real man doesn't let a lady come with just his fingers. Fingers aren't enough to satisfy you either, are they? He walks away from Minori, who's still pathetically leaking juices from her crotch. If you want to, Miss First Lieutenant, feel free to come to me anytime and ask. Heh. She'll never do that. No matter what happens, she will never say such things to that man. Minori earnestly makes that firm vow to herself. And here we are again, right into an H scene I hadn't even planned on. It seems like it was the old H scene, though. Minori puts her all in the sucking the commander's large dick. Rubbing her lips along the groove at the base of his glands, she gently nibbles on his tip before sucking hard with the surface of her tongue to thoroughly pleasure him. These are the movements of a woman experienced with fellatio. Over the past month, she has serviced his dick at least once every other day. Okay, so she's getting better at it. Well, we'll see how good she's gotten on the next episode, right? We're actually getting really close to the end of the game, I think. So, we'll get to see exactly how this is all gonna play out. And there is some interesting stuff. I'm kind of curious, like, what the CC are, and, of course, the whole incident with Mars and the moon and making her a sacrificial lamb and all that kind of shit. It's getting really interesting other than just the hentai parts. So, at any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I am out with, Dead Anigus on Grim Sentai Corner.